scripture. I'm so glad that the leaders decided to have communion today. I think it was very important that we do this on this day. I think they'll go together. If this was actually the good Passover weekend that we had with Christ 2,000 years ago, they would have had their last supper last night. It would have been Thursday, and they would have had their last supper last night, and they would have gone into the garden. Jesus would be right now on the cross, suffering for us. There will be darkness, and he will be on the cross right now, suffering for us. So it's good to have these two things together. But let us make it real to us today. Amen? Let's make this experience real to me, real to us, real to the body of Christ, and not let us just leave it back in the past as something that we're just remembering. Amen? Are we in James? Someone read James 1, verse 5 for me, please, very loudly. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures, and it's an encouragement scripture. And the reason why I believe it's an encouragement scripture is because sometimes we are going through things. James is preaching to the church in the time of tribulation, especially the Jewish people who are being persecuted highly at that particular time, and especially the believers of the Jews. And they were being persecuted, they were being hauled off to prisons, they was having their lands taken off them, it was hard to find employment. And James is saying, this is a time to pray and seek God for wisdom for what you are going through. Amen? He's not saying pray and ask God to take you out of that suffering, but ask for wisdom for what you are going through right now. Not to alleviate the pain or to alleviate the burden or to alleviate the persecution, but ask for wisdom. And in everything that we need to do personally, when you're going through trials or when you're in a waiting place or where you feel that your prayers are not being answered, it is very important to remember this one scripture, James 1 verse 5. God, give me wisdom for what I am going through right now. When you see things happening in the church, you might think there's a lull going down or there must be a heaviness going down or there's something happening. You say, God, give me wisdom for what is happening right now. Don't let me turn my mouth into a time of complaint or murmuring or something. Give me wisdom that I may know what's happening right now. So let's, I hope I can do this all in time. Help me, Jesus. We need miracles today. Amen. Let's go back to James 1. I just want to go back a bit further. James to me is a realist. He really is a realist. And he's saying this in verse 2. Consider it pure joy. Amen. Pure joy. That means no attachments, no superficiality, but this is the real stuff. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you are faced with trials of many kind. I'm reading New King James. No, I'm not. I'm reading NIV. Sorry. So consider it what? I got pure joy. You got joy. So when you are in between the devil and a hard place or a rock and a hard place or whatever, that's the time he said you should consider it pure joy. What an oxymoron. We've not been taught that these days. We've been taught, no. Blessing doesn't look like that. We've been taught something else. But I'm here to prepare you that sometimes God puts you in a hard place. God puts you in a trial place, but doesn't mean he's going to leave you there or forget you. Amen? He took his son and put him on the cross. Rejected him for 6 hours, allowed him to be put into a tomb, and allowed him to be raised on the third. He did not forget him because God had a plan. He was working a plan for mine and your redemption. It doesn't come trouble-free. It doesn't come trialless. It doesn't come without any humps or bumps. It comes with trials. It comes with persecution. But God has not forgotten you. Count it all joy. Why? Because God is working out something for you. My message today to you is the halfway point. And I'm going to rush now because of the time gone. Let's go to Genesis 14. We're going to look in the past at how the wine and bread was brought in and why it's symbolic to us today. Why it's symbolic to you today. Why it's symbolic to the church today. We're going to look at it. So let's go back to Genesis 14. Where we first have this introduction of what? Genesis 14, the first introduction of what? Okay, the bread and the wine. Sorry, the bread. Do you say butter and cheese, Cassie? Praise God. Well, praise God. Amen. That's a Jamaican's bread and wine, you know, our butter and cheese. Okay. Genesis 14, verse 17. After Abraham returned from defeat, I can't even say that name. What is that name, Daddy? Kidalamora. Shalodamora. Speaking tongues. And the king, and the kings allied with him, king of Sodom, came out to meet him in the valley of Shephath. Thank you, Lisha. This is the king's valley. Verse 18, then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Amen? He was priest of God's Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham, thank you, by God's Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to the God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Let's jump to verse 15. Sorry, chapter 15. Let's jump to chapter 15. Quickly, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And again, let's jump to verse 5 and 6. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can indeed count them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Now, that is where that saying comes from and goes all the way through the New Testament. Then Abraham believed the Lord. Until then, he was following what the Lord said, but until this point is where the Bible records he actually believed the Lord. My message today to you is the halfway point. What had happened before Melchizedek had given Abraham this bread and wine was that he had just rescued his nephew from being captured, right? And all the people in Sodom had been captured, and everybody had been captured, all the cities around there. And he went out by night with 318 men and captured them all back. And in the king's valley, he met Melchizedek, who blessed him with bread and wine. This would become his halfway point. This also is also your halfway point. This is why you have to do the communion in remembrance. Some of you, or all of you, have had victories in the Lord. Some victories you've had for yourself, and some victories you've had for others. He's brought you out of dark places. He's brought you out of reasonable people's hands. He's brought you out of poverty. He's brought you out of sickness. He's brought you out. You've had the victory. Amen? So God, and you remember God, and God comes to you and said, let's have communion because you want to give thanks to God. And Abraham gave thanks to God through the tithe giving, and God blessed him through this high priest that was at Salem. But this was just the halfway point. Even though Abraham had victories, even though Abraham had been blessed with wealth, even though Abraham was high in the Lord at that time, there was something that Abraham wanted that everybody else had that he didn't have. And what was that? A son. Thank you. Was a son. So this was his halfway point. So even though you have all these victories, even though you have everything that a person could ask for, there's one thing that he wanted that was bringing his heart low. He was in his tent. He was down. He was in a place where he's moaning to the Lord, look, I go childless. Look, the promise that you fulfill me is not here. Yes, you have blessed me. Yes, I've had victories. Yes, you brought me to this place. But there is something missing. Now remember, communion is a halfway point. Bread and wine is a halfway point. Bread represents death. Wine represents? Wine represents newness of life. Thank you. Yeah? Anytime you hear the word blood or wine in the Bible, it represents life. Represents promise of new life. So now that he's had this, this is the halfway point through Abraham's victory in his life. Yes, he's run the race. Yes, he's done the mark. Yes, he's done everything the Lord's told him to. Some things he's been disobedient in. Some things he lost his way. Some things he's made a mistake. He is human. We are human. We have disappointed the Lord. Sometimes we do things in our own strength. Sometimes we do things in our own wisdom. Sometimes we do things in our own power, thinking we're acting righteously, then find out later down the road it wasn't a righteous act. But God still has his promise and hope over you. Amen? And this is what the communion means. The communion means I have not forgotten the promise I have made to you. Yes, you have won victories in the past, but leave those things in the past. Amen? So he was looking towards a son so that his promises can be fulfilled. And when that promise came to him, what happened? His faith was lifted and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen? And I've said this the other day too. I'll say it again. You can do all the work. You can be like Noah. You can do all the work. You can build the ark. You can plant the trees. You can cut down the trees. You can grow up your household. You can build this big shelter. You can get everybody inside. Amen? But you cannot lift the ark. You cannot fulfill the promise. You cannot lift it by yourself. If God doesn't act now, then the ark will not lift. If he doesn't send the rain, then it cannot lift. It cannot move. Then all the promises and all the work that you've done in righteousness will be in vain. Abraham had done everything, but the only thing he could not do was produce a child. Amen? He could win wars. Amen. He can go into towns and win favor. He could get his flock to have sheep, his camels to have sheep, his servants to be trained. He can give sacrifice, but the one thing he could not do was produce our own child. That had to take the Lord. Amen. So this is what the halfway mark means with the communion. God is the one that's stepping in for you. Now, we have come to the New Testament and we are waiting for the Son yet again. Amen. Not only to fulfill the everlasting promise, but to fulfill a promise now. Amen. To fulfill the promise that he's promised us that we're believing for now. Amen. Let's just go to another Genesis scripture very quickly. Let's go to Genesis 40. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to read the story, even though you know the story. Just read it very quickly to recap it. Genesis 40, verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph of his dream. And he said to him, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me. And on that vine were three branches. And as soon as it budded and blossomed, and it the cluster ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put it into his hand. A good, fulfilling dream right there. And let's jump down to verse 16. And when the chief baker saw that Joseph gave a favorable interpretation to the dream, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. And in the top basket were all kinds of bread goods for Pharaoh. But birds were eaten eating them out of the basket off my head. And everybody knows the interpretation of those dreams. The three represent 3 days. 3 days, that means the butler would go back into service. And the baker in 3 days, who'll be his head will be lifted. He'll be lifted on a footpole and his head will be taken off. So one was blessed and one was not. These two people represent two things in the New Testament. These two people represented the two thieves on the cross. Both guilty. Both serving their sentence. Both in trouble. One received redemption and one did not. Right after the Lord's Supper, one received redemption, one did not. But God is pointing something here. This also, too, was Joseph's halfway point. He had just been in prison. We don't know how long he was in prison for, but he was a high servant in Potiphar's house. And apparently everything was going well until everything went pear-shaped with Potiphar's wife, and he suffered, and he went into prison. And he was in a low place in that prison. And in that prison with him were also put two people also found guilty of crimes we do not know because it wasn't revealed to us. And they had two interpretations, one to do with wine, the other one to do with bread. Instantly, as you can see, the butler had the dream about the wine, and we said that wine represents new life. And bread represents, as we said, the body. And the body, that the one that had the dream about the bread, the butler, lost his life, which also is an interpretation of the crucifixion. When Christ came, he gave his body for us, and he gave us wine so that we may have new life. We're going to talk about that in a bit. But this is also Joseph's halfway point. Now, if you can imagine that Joseph is in this prison, he doesn't hear from his family, doesn't hear from the Lord, doesn't know what's going on. He's just there. And sometimes where it feels like while we're waiting for the promises of the Lord, we're in a dark place. We're not hearing anything. Nothing's going on. Has God remembered? Does God remember your promises? You're just in a dark place. You can't hear. Nothing is going on. But then you see life, hope come, two people come and join you and might give you a word. And sometimes too, when you're walking your path of Christendom, people can't walk your walk. They fall away. They count what you say as nothing. And there's also the one that does count yourself as something and has hope. And if you listen to these two people, you can get into real doubt and real slumber because one was relieved. Do you ever have that happen to you? You're waiting for a blessing to happen. You're waiting for something to happen to you, and somebody else gets that blessing. Somebody else gets that breakthrough. Somebody else gets the thing that you've been looking for. And that's what happened to Joseph. The butler got his redemption. And probably even through Joseph's hand of interpreting the dream, he got his redemption. Not the butler got his redemption. But what happened? He said, please remember me when you stand before Pharaoh. Did the butler remember him? For 2 years, he didn't remember him. For 2 whole years. And sometimes we have to wait for God's timing to come. Now, since God gave the promise to us 2,000 years ago at that watch night, we have been waiting for that promise. Some of us have been waiting for promises for years. Joseph was waiting in a dark place, the dungeon, for ages. You may be in a halfway point right now. You might think, I'm in my studies. I'm thinking, I'm waiting for this bill to come through. I'm waiting for this job to come through. I'm waiting for this promise to come through. I'm waiting for this finance to come through. I'm waiting for this healing to come through. I'm waiting for this family to come through and then to be saved. I am waiting, Lord. But right now, I'm not hearing nothing. I'm not feeling nothing. It is like you have forgotten me. But even in our salvation, we are still waiting. Amen? But in the waiting, we still have to act righteously. And we see people have their legs up. We see people have their lift up into promotion. We see people have their breakthroughs. We see people doing all kinds of things. And you think, Lord, do you remember me? That person's got out of prison. That person's got their breakthrough. That person's got their partner. That person's got their degree. That person's got their job. That person's got this. But God hasn't forgotten you. God didn't forget Jesus in the tomb. He hasn't forgotten the promises he's made towards you. We live in a day and age now that the number one job of the enemy is to dash your hopes so that the hope that you have in him will not happen. It will happen. If God said it, it will happen. But you have to give him time for it to fulfill and come through this fulfillment. Amen? When the 2 years was up, God sent a dream to Pharaoh. Amen? And sometimes things might look really, really bad. You might have the wrong boss over you, the wrong prime minister, the wrong president. But I want you to know that God is the one that allows these things to happen. Do you know God allowed Pharaoh to rise over Egypt? God said, I have designed him. Do you know that when the Antichrist comes, God's going to allow him to reign? Do you know that some unreasonable things that God have, God allows it? He allows it because he knows the end. He knows the fruits that's going to come out from you from the end. He knows the promises that's going to come through you. Amen? Okay, let's go to the very last scripture. Let's go to Mark. Let's bring this down to realities. And then close off. Mark 14. Are you there, Mark 14? Verse 22. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. Verse 24 and last. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Amen. Praise God for that. And that was 2,000 years ago. So that means that we are also in a halfway point with the promises of God being fulfilled. We have taken communion to remember that the trials that we're going through right now is not going to be forever. The trials is to work out God's glory in our life. And the glory that God's going to work out in our life is not to exclude us, but to include us in his victory. Whatever God has promised you, he is faithful and powerful enough to do that victory. Amen? Amen? He is faithful and powerful enough to do that victory. Keep hope. Keep hold of your hope in God. Keep hold of your hope in God. If God be for us, amen. Praise God. If God is God, let it be God to us. Amen. Let it be God in our lives. Amen. God is coming back, brethren. But while he's doing that, he's working out victories in each one of our lives. I praise God. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Before I totally close, is there anyone here today who would like prayer for anyone?